most of us are familiar with, and that are my favorite. And they're favorite verses, not always for the same reason. Sometimes they're favorite just because of how simple they are. Other verses in the Bible I really appreciate because they're just very edifying and can fill our hearts with comfort. And then there's passages like the one that was read in our hearing tonight, Romans 16, at verse 16. We're all familiar with that. And that particular verse has given me confidence with regard to the church over the years. I am thrilled that I'm a member of a church that I can read about in the Bible. And that should give all of us confidence. I said a few weeks ago, I talked a little bit about even members of the church who sometimes question that whether or not the church of Christ is right. And there are several things in the Bible, of course, that ought to give us confidence in the fact that we are members of the Lord's church. And the name that the church wears is one of those things. Over the years, we've had brethren to begin to downplay the importance of wearing the name of Christ. And I'm not quite sure what the motivation behind that is. We've had churches take down signs and that sort of thing, almost as if they're ashamed of the name Church of Christ. And that shouldn't be the case. The one thing I'm sure about is that I can turn to the Bible and I can put my finger on the passage that refers to the Church of Christ. And Romans chapter 16 at verse 16 is that verse. Now, let me emphasize here as we begin that we all recognize that there isn't a specific designation that the church has to wear. We understand, though, that it has to be something that is scriptural, something that we can read about in the Bible. And Church of Christ is one of those designations. And so we understand, again, Paul said, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And so it's comforting to me that I can turn to the Bible and in black and white, I can see the church that I'm a member of on the pages of inspiration. And let me suggest to you, and I'm not meaning to offend anyone in any kind of way here tonight, but the fact of the matter is the Baptist certainly can't do that. The Baptist cannot open up the Bible and see the church that they are members of in the Bible. The Lutheran cannot do that. The Catholic Church cannot do that. The Episcopalian Church cannot do that. There's not any denomination on the face of the earth that can actually open up the Bible and see a reference to the church that they belong to. It is comforting to me that I can. I hope it is comforting to you if you are a member of the Lord's church that you can open up the Bible and read a passage that makes reference to the church of Christ. And certainly that is important. And let me emphasize that it is possible to have the right name and still be the wrong church. We understand, of course, there's passages like in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and at verse 15, you remember Paul said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And so if we wanted to call ourselves the church of the living God, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that at all. We certainly could do that. There is a denomination, of course, that refers to themselves as the Church of God. And I remember, I may have made mention of this before. I remember years ago when I was preaching in Long Beach, California. We had a home Bible study with a lady, and her husband sat in on the class. He had no interest at all in the Bible or even turning his life over to God. He was just there to cause trouble, really. And so he kept pushing and pressing the fact that we are a denomination, and you know, you all are just like everyone else, and you have a creed. And I kept saying, no, we don't have a creed. We don't have a creed. The only creed we have is the Bible. Well, you have to have a creed because every denomination has a creed. I said, well, yeah, but we're not a denomination. And he said, at the end, he said, listen, I could show you, you're not the only, the Church of Christ is not the only church. I can show you two churches in the Bible. And he turned over to Romans 16 and verse 16, of course, and read the reference to churches of Christ. And then he turned over to this passage in 1 Timothy 3, where it talked about the church of the living God. And he said, see, two churches. There's not just one church in the Bible. And he didn't realize that both references are to the same church. The church of the living God is the church of Christ. And we know that because of the God that's under consideration here. We know that that is referring to Jesus. All you have to do is read the very next verse where Paul says, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. And then it says about this God, he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. And clearly that is a reference to Jesus. The church of the living God is referring to the church that belongs to Christ. There's not two churches in the Bible. The Bible clearly teaches that there is one body, there is one church. Jesus said that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say anything about churches. He said, I will build my church, just one. And that's the only church that he ever built. And why, pray tell, should not that church wear his name? The church is the bride of Christ. And so we understand that the church should wear the name of Christ. But as I was saying, now again, just because you have the right name doesn't mean that you're the right church. There are other factors involved. In fact, when I tell you tonight that I can open up the Bible and I could read about the church that I belong to in the Word of God, it's a lot more involved in that than just the name. I can look at the church in the New Testament and look at the, with regard to the local church, the organizational arrangement that the church had, elders, deacons, and saints, and realize that, yes, I belong to a church like that. I can open up the Bible and read in the church that the New Testament church partook of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and those of us who are members of the Lord's church belong to a church that does that. I can read about the church that those of us who are Christians belong to in the Bible with regard to work, with regard to worship, with regard to organization, with regard to God's plan of salvation, and the list goes on. But it's comforting to me that I can also open up my Bible and even in name read about the church of Christ. Because again, while it is true that you can have the right name and be the wrong church, you cannot have the wrong name and be the right church. And that's what individuals need to understand. Name isn't everything, but it is an important thing. The church ought to wear the name of Christ. As I suggested a moment ago, we understand that the church is the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 makes the comparison between the husband and the wife and Christ and the church. And the reason that is a valid comparison, of course, is simply because the church is the bride of Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, you might remember, at verse 9, Revelation 21 and at verse 9, the Bible says, and then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. What was he referring to? The church. And so the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the wife of the Lamb, that being Jesus. And so should not the church wear the name of Christ? I've often said over the years, wives ought to wear the name of their husbands. And it's sad that we live in a society today where many women are refusing to do that, but that should not be the case. Name demonstrates a relationship. It demonstrates that one belongs to another. Husband and wives belong to each other. And a name identifies that, marks that, and that's a good thing. And so it's sad that their wives, not understanding the importance of that, decide that they're not going to wear, they're not going to take on the name of their husbands. But I've pointed out over the years, now if a brother came to me and said, Don, you know, my wife is not going to wear my name, I'm not going to fall apart about that. Because his wife is not my wife. I feel bad for him, but I'm probably not going to lose a whole lot of sleep over that. And the point that I'm making when I say that simply is this. Man comes along and says, well, you in the Church of Christ, you people make too big of a deal of this. It's not a real big deal to change the name of the church. Well, that's easy to you to say because the church is not your wife. But the church is the wife of Christ. And so certainly, just like I don't want my wife to change her name, Christ doesn't want man to change the name of his wife, the name of his wife. But it's even worse when you stop and think about it. What if my wife came to me and said, Don, I'm tired of the name Wright. I really, really haven't appreciated that from the very beginning. I'm going to go back and call myself Mitchell. I'm going to start signing everything Mitchell. That was her maiden name. And so that's what I'm going to do. Well, I wouldn't be happy about that. But, you know, that would be one thing. What if she came to me and said, Don, I don't like the name Wright. I'm going to start calling my name, wearing the name of another man. That'd be worse, wouldn't it? That'd be a terrible situation. Now I'm really mad. But that's exactly what individuals have done with the church. Calling themselves Lutheran, for example, that's just the name of another man. There's other examples of that, but to wear the name, why in the world would a church want to take on a name of some human being? That certainly cannot be right. You remember in Acts chapter 4 and at verse 12, where we're told that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Christ. We should not be ashamed of that in any form or fashion. We should continue to point out to people that we belong to Christ. We're the bride of Christ, and so we wear his name. Not the name of some other organization, certainly not the name of some man. We wear the name of Christ. And we can turn to the Bible and show you where in the first century they wore the name of Christ too. And that's the way it ought to be. And the fact of the matter is, nobody would ever dispute that in any realm except for religion. Like, when you stop and think about it, who would ever claim that there's nothing in a name? Everything that I've talked about briefly here tonight, we could bring this up, we have brought this up over and over again to denominational folks. One of the things that we emphasize in home Bible studies and trying to win people to Christ and rescue people from the bonds of denominationalism is the name of the church. And so many times the response comes back, well, really, there's nothing in a name. Really? When is that ever true? Those who say that would only say that when it comes down to religion. How many of you took some time, gave at least a little bit of thought before you named your children? And how many people do you think, other than extreme situations, who do not take some time and consider what they're going to name their children? Fact of the matter is, we spend much time doing that. Some people buy books and go through names and take weeks, sometimes months, and trying to determine and trying to decide what they're going to name their children. Why? Because everybody knows there's something in a name. We have illustrated it many times before by saying, how many of you would ever name your daughter Jezebel? Well, there's something in a name. When you all, those of you who are parents, when you were about to have a child, maybe you knew it was going to be a boy, did you ever consider, even for a moment, the name Rover? Of course not. Because there's something in a name. And there's something in a name when it comes down to God. Why, pray tell, do you think he changed Abram's name to Abraham? And Sarai's name to Sarah? Because there's something in a name. And the truth is, everybody recognizes that. You go to a store and you look, you're trying to buy a can of corn. You're going to look at the label, aren't you? It's going to name what is in that can. And it says something about that. It's important. We know in every walk of life, there is something in a name. It's only when an individual belongs to a church they can't read about in the Bible, where they have no other choice because they can't answer the question scripturally. They have no other choice but to conclude there's nothing in a name. But there is something in a name. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus only built one church. That church belongs to Him. I will build my church. And since He said, my church, we know that the church belongs to Him. Ergo, the church that belongs to Christ is the church of Christ. And it shouldn't be any other way. Older preachers used to always give the example in Acts chapter 16 of Lydia. You remember Paul went into Philippi and preached the gospel of Christ, the first time the gospel was preached in that region. And the first convert was Lydia. And you remember that she invited them into her house and pled with them that they would come and stay in your house. Come into my house, she said, just like Jesus said, my church. She said, my house. Later on in the chapter, after Paul and Silas were arrested and beaten and all of that and finally released, they went back, and according to the King James Version and New King James, American Standard, many translations, the record says that they entered the house of Lydia. That doesn't surprise anyone, does it? And in one place, she said, it's my house. We're not surprised when that house is called the house of Lydia. We shouldn't be surprised when Jesus said, I will build my church, that later we read of that church being the church of Christ. It shows ownership, possession. We belong to Jesus. He paid the price. He bought us with His own blood. Why, pray tell, would we ever want to wear anyone else's name? I've always appreciated Romans 16 at verse 16. It's simple. But it is a passage we can turn to. We can open up the Bible and we can read about the church we belong to in the Word of God. If you're visiting with us tonight, can you do that? A red flag should go up if you can't even read, even in name. Now, you ought to make sure that whatever church you belong to, you can read about in a lot of different ways, as I talked about earlier. In work and in worship and in organizational structure, in doctrine and what you teach and all that you practice, you ought to be able to compare the church you belong to and with the church you read about in the Bible, and everything should line up perfectly. And I'm absolutely sure. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had something along those lines on the screen. I'm absolutely sure that I belong to a church that can do that. But I'm glad one of those things is the name itself, the designation. It doesn't, as I said, no one's saying it has to be Church of Christ. We could put Church of the Living God on our sign if we wanted to do that, but it has to be a scriptural designation. I'm glad that we have one. Let's not ever be ashamed of that. Let's not contemplate taking down the sign. It offends too many people when they see that. No, we should never be ashamed of the name of Christ in any form or fashion. Salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I'm glad that I'm a member of that church. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're a part of a church you don't read about in the Bible. The great thing is you can rectify that even tonight. All you have to do is repent of your sins, be buried in the waters of baptism, and you'll be added to the church at the same time. Being saved and becoming a member of the Lord's church happens simultaneously. Acts 2 at verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as we're being saved. If you obey the gospel, you'll be saved and become a member of the Lord's church at that very moment. Why not do that tonight? If you're a member of the Lord's church already, maybe you haven't been living the way you ought to. Don't think, well, you know, I can put my finger on the passage that says Church of Christ, and I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and so I know I'm going to heaven. Well, maybe, but only if you're faithful. Revelation 2 at verse 10, be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. You have to be faithful. If you haven't been faithful, why not repent of that? Do what Peter told Simon to do in Acts chapter 8 at verse 22. Repent and pray God. And of course, God will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But do what's right, and do it right now as we together stand and sing.